Hello, 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 and welcome to My Empty Hands, a podcast about the martial arts, typically with a focus on Kenpo. I am Reggie Darden, and today I have another wonderful wonderful guest with me today. I've got Chris Roberts here with me, and we're gonna kind of deviate a little bit. Mr. Roberts is not a long-time martial artist, certainly at least compared to my other guests, but you know, we're gonna learn about his story and his journey. So we're gonna get into some different things. One of the kind of main reasons why I've asked him to be on is that he was most recently on the latest season of the Cobra Kai show. So if you have been watching that, you can take another look at it and look for him after our chat today, and see what he's doing, and we'll be looking forward to other things that he's in. So we'll probably be a little less martial arty on this show, but he's been in the movie biz for a little while now, so I'm interested in hearing more about kind of how that whole process works, and so we'll get into that, and we'll just kind of get into his life journey and learn more about him. So we'll turn it over to you. I guess we'll start with your martial arts training kind of how that part of it started, and then we'll move into the Cobra Kai stuff. So, how did the martial arts find you, and how did you get started with that?
Well, Reggie, as we said, I'm not heavy into the martial arts. However, growing up, I did have the privilege. I grew up with an older brother who was, in fact, a college wrestler, so street fighting and what have you was always part of my journey growing up. I would go to the local taekwondo dojo and hang out with Thor Jetzel. He was the sensei there, still is the sensei there. And, I dabbled. I wasn't really, I was a football player, you know, this, that, and the third. So saying that to say, as I went on in life, I've always been into weight training and in the gym, boxing gyms. You know, I did some boxing training, the taekwondo training. And, you know, later on in life, as we said that, you know, I started training in Tai Chi, the discipline of Tai Chi. It's excellent. I'm into meditation. I'm into this, that, and the third. I like to, I've been training since this spring, Gainesville Dojo, under Sifu Desmond, Tai Chi instructor, to basically my involvement in what you mentioned, Cobra Kai, is what has inspired me to delve into the art deeper than I had before. My goals are in studying Tai Chi, my goals aren't necessarily competition, what have you. I would like to focus on like film choreography, stunt sequences, and you know, obviously that's gonna entail competition. But my main driving force is to make myself as an actor more marketable with a set of skills that is marketable, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah,
it's totally. It's become part of the film journey. In fact, anything that I can add to my film resume, I go after it. I pursue it. So with the Tai Chi, excuse me. Again, I'm working to make myself more of a marketable actor. And it's also a great for my mental health, great for my physical health. And I'm learning. The old adage is, when the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. And you know, here I am studying martial arts, getting in shape, and it's all synchronicity, if you will. It's just everything's happening for me, and doors are open. And the martial arts, it's become a passion. You know, I'll be up in the morning making coffee, doing forms. You know, I'll be going throughout my day doing forms. You know, it's really began to grow on me. You know, and I want to thank everybody for allowing me to be a guest. I'm kind of, like you said, I'm a little bit unorthodox compared to the usual guests you have, and much respect to them, and I thank them. But yeah, it's really recently became a passion. Like we said, you know, starting in the spring when I was filming in Atlanta on Cobra Kai, when I was in that, it inspired me to begin my martial arts journey.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, yeah, it sounds like it's definitely been a part of your life. Something that I like to say is that you don't choose the martial arts chooses you, and you know, the martial arts finds you. And so it sounds like it's always been, you know, been there for you, just at you know, the younger times, you weren't ready for it, or it wasn't ready for you at that time. And, took, you know, your time with acting and everything to say, okay, now's the time to get this guy with the program. So, yeah, I think it's always been there for you. It just, needed the right timing. So, was there any particular, you know, since there's so many different martial arts, was there any particular thing that drew you to Tai Chi, or?
Well, yeah, basically the probably a lot of it is the meditation aspect. You know, I don't know, it's a very fluid art to me. You know, it feels natural. And mind you, I could probably apply that to any art that I would train in. But Tai Chi, just for some reason, it seemed to be the art that I wanted to pursue. And now that I'm into it, I can, you know, I don't know. It's just, it seems to be the art for me. I briefly mentioned, I worked in boxing gyms. Worked with people that are BJJ, you know, and the various arts, and that's all well and fine, you know. And it's like, from what I gather in my infancy in this, it's just something that, like anything else, you feel it, you know what I'm trying to say? So yeah, totally. It was just, it's always been Tai Chi. It's, you know, I like Wing Chun. I like Jeet Kune Do. I like those. I don't know. It's just, I guess I watch too much Ip Man.
Yeah, that's a good one. Good one to watch. So.
Yes, sir. But I've always, you know, and the Western or the Eastern philosophies and this and that are behind the arts are also inspiring to me, just as much as studying the art itself.
Okay. Yeah, very, very nice. You know, you're still early in the training, but since you mentioned, you know, getting into, you know, the fight choreography and stunt work and things like that, have you started kind of eyeing the next style or system that you can get involved with? Or?
Well, you know, maybe some Kenpo karate, huh?
We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you.
I'd have to give
a lot of great teachers out there. So we'll definitely get you connected with some and get you rocking the Kenpo. So
that'd be all right.
Very nice.
That'd be all right.
Very nice. So,
you know,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was briefly going to share that, growing up, young lad, I grew up in Northwest Pennsylvania, you know, and my best buddy in the whole world, I would be so full of awe when we talk about it. His uncle was a stuntman for Chuck Norris.
Oh, very nice.
So from a young age, there was that influence. You know what I'm trying to say? I mean, it was like anytime we'd be around new friends, I'd be like, hey, his uncle's Chuck Norris, one of Chuck Norris's stunt team. You know, I was always like, it's so cool. It's so cool. And now here I am, you know. But anyway, John Barrett's his name, and he actually runs a facility, I believe, in California now. But I just wanted to share that little tidbit about how it was so cool growing up knowing somebody that did stunts for Chuck Norris.
Oh yeah, no, I can definitely relate. As we mentioned, or as we talked about before we started recording, I have some friends that are in the industry, and kind of most notably, I will mention that one of my friends was a stunt person and a background guy on both Black Panther and on Avengers Infinity War. And when I heard that he was going to be on it, it was like, oh my God, like I gotta look and see, you know, watching closely for when he pops up on the screen. And you catch a glimpse of him, and I'm just like, you know, jumping up out of my seat screaming, and it's like, oh my God, I know that guy. And so that's pretty exciting. And I have some friends that have been in movies, and so anytime, you know, kind of pop up, it's like, oh well, like, yeah, I know a guy that was in that, or I know a girl that, you know, did this for a particular movie. And yeah, so that's really, really exciting. And then with now doing the podcast, getting to speak with people in the industry, and it's like, oh, well, you know, now we're friends. So you know, today I deem the Karate Kid day, because I got to speak with Daryl Vidal this morning. And so that was really, really exciting to you know, speak with someone that's involved with a movie that's influenced so many people to get involved in, you know, not just karate, but the martial arts, and just such an iconic movie that to have someone involved with that. And it's like, oh, well, you know, get to talk and then realize, oh, well, we have all these things in common. He's from San Diego, like me, and, you know, trains in Kenpo like me. And so it was just exciting, and he works in IT and all that stuff, which I won't spoil everything for the episode, but yeah, I can totally relate to being connected with you know, people in the biz. So yeah, it's kind of surreal when you're now part of it. And so
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about being part of Cobra Kai. You know, like, I remember I was 7 watching, in fact, the kick that Daryl Vidal invented, you know, and then fast forward 40 years and I got to, you know, I got the honor to meet the man that invented the crane kick. And it's just like so surreal, Reggie. You know, I mean, I'm still, you know, and of course we know Cobra Kai never dies. Mm-hmm. I am now part of the Miyagi-verse, brother. And you know, I couldn't ask for a greater feeling. The journey and my film journey started 5 years ago, you know. I packed up everything in Northwest Pennsylvania after having my first film experience and decided I was coming back to Florida to pursue more film opportunities. 5 years later, here we are. You know, I've been on Cobra Kai. I've been fortunate to work with Damian Chapa from Blood In, Blood Out. I had my first film fight scene with that gentleman. You know, it's just been unreal the way that things have worked out. And just from that, taking that first step, you know, having that desire. And again, to be part of the Miyagi-verse, of the Karate Kid saga, I can't wait to tell my grandkids about it. You know, it's those kind of things. You know, I work in an auto shop. You know what I mean? Yeah. I act. Dare I say, it's not a hobby; it's a passion. You know, I'm reaching for bigger, better things in my journey. But to just know that I'm just an everyday guy that goes to work and has had these, you know, and I, you know, I'm not rich, I'm not famous, but I'm very wealthy with these experiences, if that makes sense, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. But look forward to what, and again, you know, the martial arts aspect, it's given me something to make myself more marketable in this film. And film industry is such a, it's a tough industry. You know, it's a tough business. Everybody knows it. No business like show business. So to be able to make myself as marketable as possible, I believe would behoove me upon this journey, if you will.
Gotcha. So let's take it back to the beginning of the acting bug. So were you always interested in being an actor, or did you kind of fall into it, or how did the acting part of it start? How did the desire to pursue that start?
Well, the first experience I had with film was in 2019. I briefly mentioned I remember I was on the internet one day and I seen an ad for extras for a Netflix and filming in Pittsburgh. Now, mind you, I lived 2.5 hours northwest of Pittsburgh and a very rural area, not a lot of film opportunity, if you will, unless it's Pittsburgh, Philly, or New York, you know, or in somewhere in there, Jersey. So I guess the odds of me even coming across the ad were very slim, but I did. And I threw my name in the hat and, you know, they called me up and says, "Hey, we'd like to book you." And again, this, I'd never been involved with film once in my life. I love watching films. I love classic cinema. I love, you know, action movies, what have you. I've always been a film fanatic. But I never had entertained working in the industry till that time. And lo and behold, so the job gave me a week off, a long weekend. So I booked an Airbnb and I decided I'm going to do this. You know? And I can't explain the feeling that first experience, knowing that I was going to be on a large production. I mean, I knew nothing. I didn't even know what independent films were, what have you. You know, the independent film industry, I had no clue. I went straight into a huge production for Netflix. The film is Sweet Girl with Jason Momoa. We filmed on the Roberto Clemente Bridge in PNC Park, Pittsburgh. It was November. It was 30 some degrees, windy, spitting snow, and we were on set for 14 hours. And lo and behold, there runs Jason Momoa. I was like, "Oh, wait a minute! This sucked a minute ago, but now, and yeah, zzz, you can hear the drone chasing him up the bridge. You know, he's running. It's a great scene, you know. And here we are, right in the middle of it. And you know, there's hundreds of us, because they had us booked, or they had us cast as baseball fans, because the portion that filmed in PNC Park, there was a baseball game going on, and we were just baseball fans while he ran through the stadium while the FBI was shooting. Some great action sequences, but again, so I end out that long weekend. It was like a Hollywood weekend. You know? I was like, "Oh my goodness, this was phenomenal." So I go back to my detailing job at Allegheny Toyota, much love, small town, Franklin, Pennsylvania. And, you know, I remember standing out back with one of my buddies one day at work. you know what, man? I'm going to go to Florida and make movies. So it was probably 3 months after I made that proclamation. I remember punching out for the last time on my job. You know, all the goodbyes and good luck and well wishes. And I loaded up my 2002 Honda Accord, beautiful she was, and we came to Florida. And now 2019 was movie credit number one. Now fast forward to here we are, 2024, 5 years later. I've got 30-some film credits. I have a handful of interviews, podcasts, some commercials, some music videos. So I've been working real hard these past 5 years, Reggie, to try to get a foothold, and not to just get a foothold, but to experience what the life is like. You know, I work 5 days a week. I'm a full-time employee. You know, I got bills, but I go do these films when the opportunities arise, sometimes for free IMDb credits, you know. But all the while, every experience I have on set is helping build me as an actor, build my resume, you know, and I'm learning more and more about the ins and outs, the, you know, the do's and don'ts, the business aspect of it. And what I've learned is I have agents, I have representation, but at the same time, it was me that knocked on the doors. You know, it was me that made the sacrifices to go do film work for free, for a credit, to build a resume so I can present, you know what I'm trying to say? I could have something to present to say, you know, I'm applying myself here. I'm working towards this goal. And you know, when the door opened to me on Cobra Kai, I don't think I'll ever be able to explain what that feeling was. Yeah. On that note, thank you, Sean Thompson. Sean Thompson was the individual who was influential sharing the link with me to get cast. There was a lot of Florida film actors and actresses also that made it into the project. And I just want to, we're all grateful for Sean Thompson because he's the one who got cast first and opened the door for the rest of us. And I have a wonderful Florida film family, getting my foot in the door in Georgia. I've worked in Atlanta, South Georgia. You know, I'm eating it up, Reggie. I'm doing everything that I can within reason. And on that note, sometimes you can't win them all. There was a time, in fact, it was 3 days after I booked with Cobra Kai in Atlanta. Now I'm in Gainesville, Florida. There's a film market in Atlanta. There's a film market in Tampa, Orlando, and Miami. Miami is basically my furthest point south that I work locally at the moment. So the phone, the cell towers were struggling. I couldn't get messages would come in, but I couldn't reach back out. Something to do with the towers. I get a message from my agent in Miami. Well, she said that they wanted to get a hold of me to come film. And I'm like thinking to myself, well, this sucks because I just made all the accommodations and arrangements with my job for Cobra Kai. Then all of a sudden I get a text message. And this gentleman, he said, Chris, this is the casting director for Bad Boys 4. We need you in Miami today. I said, yeah. I'm looking at my boss because I borrowed his phone because his phone wasn't on an 18th tower, so it had it was working. So I'm on the phone with a Hollywood casting director for Bad Boys 4, and I was just given the green light for a role on Bad Boys 4. And the only way possible, Reggie, I would have had to quit my job. That was a bittersweet part of Cobra Kai. You know, I love both franchises. Of course, the Karate Kid franchise has been more of an influence on my life. but I do love the Bad Boys franchise as well. And to just know that I had to pass on that gig, you know what I mean? It's something that'll always haunt me because, you know, like you just can't do it all. And that's the only thing I could take from that experience, Reggie, was you win some, you lose some. You know, I made a connection and you know, it's hard to explain. It's even unfathomable to say, hey, you know, what I likened it to in my mind is sometimes you hear of big actors that turn down roles or another big actor gets a role instead of the one that was trying to get the role. So it's the mechanics of it, if you will. But it was such a bittersweet experience, man. And that's something that I'll always be able to tell that story too. I'll be like, hey, they wanted me to be the stand-in for the captain. I was like, oh my goodness, because they sent me a snapshot of the wardrobe and what they needed me to look like. And lo and behold, one day I was watching the trailer and I paused it and it was the captain. And he was sitting there wearing the exact same wardrobe my agent sent me. And I was like, oh. But anyhow, it in its own right was a wonderful experience as well to just know that, you know, that ball had bounced into my court twice in the same week to be in large productions. And it was a great feeling, Reg.
Yeah, no, things work out the way that they need to work out, and the universe, you know, puts things where they need to be. So, you know, from our perspective, seeing how, you know, you maybe wanted this thing, but, you know, like we mentioned before with the martial arts, you know, it wasn't ready for you. The universe said, you know, maybe you wanted this, but this is not the right time for you. So you know, we just take it as it comes and you know, work with what we've got. So you know, there'll be more captain parts for you coming up.
I can't deny it was a temptation to quit my job and go all in.
Very nice, very nice. So before we jump to the get into the nitty-gritty of Cobra Kai, I just wanted to go back a little bit with that first job. Was there anything that's I'm just kind of trying to wrap my mind around the, you know, you're an extra, you're in the background of this production. What, you know, do you recall, like, what was the trigger that was like, you know what, I need to do, you know, I want to do this. Kind of, what was the catalyst for, what was that aha moment? Because it's a pretty big leap to be like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, leave my job, move to a new place and you know, hit the ground running on something like this, when in my mind, okay, if you got a part and you were just supposed to be an extra and they, you know, saw it, like, I will liken it to the show Breaking Bad. So Aaron Paul, the character of Jesse, originally he was only supposed to be in, you know, the one episode, and he was supposed to get killed off or, you know, something. But just they liked him so much and just so, you know, his role got expanded and then just kind of from his performance and just whatever they liked about him, you know, he became, you know, the second lead of the show. So in a situation like that, I could see, okay, yeah, I want to get, you know, into the biz, but not having all that, I'm curious what would propel you to make such a big leap when, you know, it's, you're not in that situation where it's like, oh, like I'm definitely going to be a star. So I'm just kind of curious what the thought process was on that.
Well, be honest, Reggie, there's a whole lot to unpack right there. But what it was initially, I knew the rural area I was in. Because when I was eating lobster and shrimp and steak in the VIP level of PNC Park and talking to Jason Momoa and just taking in all that stuff that's on the film scene, you know, it was at that point I decided I wanted to do this the rest of my days. You know, I didn't leave to make it a little more, not to sound as far-fetched and crazy, I had grown up between Florida and Pennsylvania. So I realized, you know, it wasn't like I was just going to a strange land. I knew people and, you know, this, that, and the third in Florida. But I knew in Florida, I'm an auto detailer by trade. And the rural town I'm from in, there's not a lot of opportunity. I had already reached the top of my game as an auto detailer. I was actually a supervisor at a local dealership of the detail department. So I had really capped out. You know, I'd owned my own business for a while. And I decided, you know, I guess it was just one of the things where I wanted something new. And I realized, again, there wasn't much film opportunity where I was at. And I began to look, you know, and search things on the internet as far as the film industry in Florida. And I was like, hey, why not? So within the first year of coming to Florida, I doubled my annual salary. You know, that's huge. But what it boils down to is here's a statement that I kind of endear is, if you want to get there, or don't expect to get there if you're not willing to go. Now, mind you, my backstory, it might make a little more sense on how easily I can just uproot, you know, and go start again. I'm resilient. I was a gang member as a teen, homeless, drug addict. Got away from the gang and ended up hitchhiking out of Southwest Florida to start over at 900 to 1100 miles away, you know? So saying that to say me going all in on something I believe in is not a stretch because I've done it all my life. You know, there's never been a challenge that, you know, once I made my mind up. So basically I made up my mind. I wanted to work in the film industry and Florida was where it was at. And obviously there's Atlanta, there's California, there's New York, but I knew people in Florida, and I love Florida. It's beautiful here. You know, the hurricane seasons are kind of a bummer, but love Florida. So anyway, yeah. And like I said, I made that sacrifice, and I am certain many, many, many people thought I was insane, and they probably still do, but that's okay. Anyway, it was a big risk, Reg. You know, it's not something that your everyday guy would just pack up and do. And maybe, again, that goes back to that, the synchronicities of the universe. You know? Maybe there was something different for me out there. And who am I to, you know, say, if I wouldn't have took, I mean, I'm so glad I decided to do what I did. And again, it was a bit absurd. It was a bit far-fetched. And I tell you what, you probably wouldn't meet an actor or actress alive that doesn't have a similar story of how, you know, crazy pursuing this industry is. I mean, and I have some podcasts coming up where we're going to speak upon the mental health of the artist, because, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs, even for the A-listers. You know, they go through seasons where, you know, you don't win them all in this industry, Reggie, and you got to learn to accept that. But back to your question, I knew if I was going to pursue film, it wasn't going to be where I was at. That was plain and simple. So I made the decision it was time to make a change. And in the case, yes, sir, it was a drastic. But here we are.
Well, yeah, no, you're definitely in good company. So in the Kempo world, there is a very popular, prominent figure, actor and martial artist first and actor second, but Jeff Speakman tells a similar story to you in that he left his home and you know packed up his car, went to California and to try and make a name for himself in the industry, and was fortunate enough to get things going to make the quintessential Kempo movie, The Perfect Weapon. So if you haven't seen it, I highly suggest that you check it out. It is a movie that inspired me to get involved in Kempo, and many, many others, I'm sure, as well. And yeah, you have to chase your dreams and throw caution to the wind in order to make things happen. So that drive will certainly take you places. And I'm excited to see what comes up next for you. So let's talk some Cobra Kai, get some juicy we'll see, but so for our listeners here, so you are in season 6 part 2, if my memory serves me correctly. If you can say, or if you know, or if it is the truth, if you're in part 3, if you can say, let us know. If not, we understand. But what part did you were you in? So we can take a look for you. And
well, to be honest with you, Reggie, I was blown away to be in part 1, even though it was for like 3 seconds.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll have to look for you there too.
There was a lot of the fighters we were. We were filming the walk up to the Saikai Taikai. So there's a lot of us, but yeah, I was able to spot myself. And like I said, it's real minuscule. It was like 3 seconds. But anyway, I didn't even expect to see myself. So when I seen myself in part 1, I was super pumped. Well, here we got, what was it? Numerous months between releases, and well, here I, the biggest, one of my best takeaways from working on set was the day, I'll never forget it, Reggie, they put my other sensei for Team France, Steve Matheson, appreciate you. They put him next to a principal actor. That means one of the main actors. And all of a sudden, production assistant grabbed my buddy and said, "Hold on, we've seen enough of you," and moved him and put me right where he was standing. So I looks over to who I'm standing next to, and it's somebody I can't even say I seen. Okay, so that day was probably the greatest day. Well, one of the greatest days of my film career to this point. So picture us filming this in the spring. The release didn't come out until November 15th of part 2. Okay. So that day I stood beside Thomas Ian Griffith, AKA Terry Silver. And when part 1 came out and there wasn't a peep about Terry Silver, basically, I was like, darn, I got to keep this under my hat. Reggie, you know how hard that was?
Oh yeah, no, I can definitely imagine hard not to tell people about what was going on.
So I'll never forget that day. It was the morning block of filming, and I worked beside Mr. Griffith for 2-3 hours that day while they were filming different angles. And I just, you know, I stayed in my lane, Reggie. Everybody's like, oh, you didn't talk to him? You didn't? No, we were working. You know, there's a level of professionalism. We exchanged pleasantries, and we shot the breeze briefly, but we were working. And obviously, cameras were rolling. And you always, when you're on set, when you hear action, you act like you're on camera, whether you are or not. I mean, obviously, unless the shot is away from you. But yeah, so it was a level of professionalism. But when part one came out and nobody made mention, there was no mention, everybody, the fandom was still like, wonder if Silver's coming back. And in my heart, you know, I'm a member of many Cobra Kai groups. I love the Cobra Kai fandom. Thank you guys. You're awesome. And it's like, everybody's like, about Silver. And I'm sitting over here like, so long story short, when it dropped on the 15th and I seen myself standing next to Terry Silver, not only Terry Silver, but John Kreese was in the shot too. I was featured with the two of those guys. I was like, oh my God. And then I was able to share. I was like, you guys understand what I went through now? That, like, that 5-month period of like, oh, it's like the coolest part of the season, this guy coming back. And when he's back, I'm standing right next to him. It was so surreal, you know. And granted, I'm an extra. I'm a featured background actor. You know what I'm saying? My goal in this is to become more like them, you know. So it's like, that was a huge moment. And another great moment was obviously working with Mr. Zabka, Mr. Macchio, you know, Mr. Cove. So many great actors. And the Cobra Kai actors are phenomenal. The Miyagi-Do actors, phenomenal kids, man. So full of life, such a bright future. That inspired me in its own right. But I remember people, you know, there was times to get photos and autographs and talk to the guys and gals. But I didn't get a chance to get Ralph Macchio's autograph. And I really, really, really wanted to. Just the way things transpired, I got close to him. And then somebody was taking a picture with him. And apparently he accidentally hit video. And Ralph was like, no, he was done. You know, he's like, you're not making a video of me. Take a picture. Yeah. So that ruined my opportunity because I was next up, you know. But anyway, I did manage to, we crossed each other's paths and we locked eyes. And I was just like, holy cow, man, I'm looking at the Karate Kid. And I was kind of, you know, fanned out. And I was like, thank you for framing my childhood. And he kind of smiled and looked at me. And we're shaking hands at this point, a firm handshake. He smiled and looked at me and he said, thank you for being here. And I was just like, holy cow. I just talked to the Karate Kid. You know, I'm working with the Karate Kid. I'm working with Johnny Lawrence, you know, all these guys. And it's like, pinch me. I'm dreaming here. So even just as a background actor, I mean, I was a featured background actor. I had a character role. I was the sensei of Team France, you know. Just, it's unexplainable. I mean, it's the culmination of everything I've came this far for, you know. It's materializing, and I'm thankful that, you know, Cobra Kai never dies, because I was part of history, Reggie.
Yeah, very, very, very nice. So, to kind of go with the you know, featured background. So did they, you know, like give you a, give you a script, or they give you notes and say, oh, like, this is what you're going to be doing, or I should say, how, you know, how did you kind of get that specific part, or what were the kind of the details around that?
I mentioned Sean Thompson. He had landed a role, and, you know, I was celebrating with him and this and that. And it was 2 days later, he sent me the link. So I went ahead and applied for a tournament worker. Okay. So I was like, I was on pins and needles for the next 3 days, because when you put your name in the hat for a large production, you're going to have butterflies for like a week. You're going to check your email frantically for like a week. You're going to be like, you're going to be up, down, up, down. I might get there. I might not. I might get there. Someone else is getting picked. Thousands of people have put in for this. I'll, you know, so at 5:30 after I ended my work day and headed home, when the phone rang and I looked down and seen Atlanta, Georgia, it was at that moment I knew I got the part. So I answered the phone, Reggie, and I couldn't make out exactly what she said at first. And all I could stammer out was, is this about Cobra Kai? Yes. Yeah. You know, here we are. She asked me to hold the line, Reggie. I've been waiting for this call for a week. She's like, could you hold the line? So, you know, of course. And I heard, you know, how kind of the phone will rustle on someone's shoulder. And I heard her talking to somebody else. She come back on the line. Of course, a couple times I was like, you still there? You still there? I didn't want to lose her. She come back on the line, Reggie, and she said to me, today's your lucky day. We want you to be a sensei to represent a country at the Saikai Taika. I said, you sure do. So that day, just over the phone, I went from just being a tournament, which there's no small part. No part is insignificant. But I went from here to here. And it may be another one of those synchronicities, you know, the way things, the universe just making things a little sweeter for you, you know. But as far as the script, no, sir, we were under the direction of the, you know, mostly the production assistants would tell us where the director wanted us, you know, and occasionally people like myself would get pulled into a shot and, you know, all of a sudden I'm a movie star, you know. I'm fortunate to, you know, have my presence on the screen with these guys. You know, there's really no way to explain the feeling. You know, you go all the way back to when you're 7 years old, you know, eating Cheerios, watching The Karate Kid, and you're idolizing the whole principle of the movie. You know, my only thing I really wished, and of course, you know, to have met Mr. Miyagi would have been one of the greatest things in life. You know?
Oh yeah, for
but
sure.
I wasn't quite afforded that privilege. But I'll tell you what. I remember looking over one time and elbowing my buddy, and I was like, yo, that looks like Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
Daryl Vidal, great guy. Had the privilege to meet the man that invented the crane kick. It was a stand-in for Mr. Miyagi.
Very nice.
Bro, that's what dreams are made of right there. I am so blessed, privileged. Grateful, eternally grateful, you know, and I do. I look forward to what could be next. You know, what is going to be next? Just got a phone call yesterday from a director that wants to put me into a couple films, and these are lead and supporting roles. So, you know, the goal is, and you catch a lot of flack as a background act. Now, you know, some established actors will kind of look down on you if you call yourself an actor, but you don't have lead or supporting roles, if that makes sense. I mean, not all of them, obviously, but there is a separation. There is certainly a separation. But I'd like to say there's got to be, and I know there's a lot of actors that got their start as background actors. Michael Keaton ran the trolley on behind scenes of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. That was Batman. That's how Batman got started. You know what I'm trying to say?
Oh, yeah.
So it's encouraging to me as I watch myself progress. You know, the age-old saying, suit up and show up. You know, I've tried to avail myself to anything film I can over the past 5 years, brother. And you know, I've gotten to the point with family and friends, you know, where we kind of joke, you know, what's next? Because something's always happening. The industry is a buzz. There's always opportunities, you know. And I talked to a lady from Hollywood who's actually an executive producer in the television industry out there. And she explained to me, she said, Chris, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. And I got a hold of that, Reggie. Because you know that she's right. You know, I've became, and it's really tough with social media right now. Because if you're on social media too much, you know, you're either, I don't know, it's hard to explain. There's real life outside of social media. It's a great tool, however. But I put myself out there a lot, man. You know, I really do. I look forward to each opportunity. Like I watch these fan like the fan photos or fan videos of Cobra Kai Part 2, and man, I watch frantically for me, like, oh, where am I? Oh, there I am. You know, there's more content for me. You know, sure, I didn't have a line, I wasn't a supporting actor in this, I was there, bro. You know, and there's multiple millions of people worldwide that would have gave their left foot or whatever to be in the position I was in. So I count myself very, very blessed, you know, just to have been a part. And as far as Part 3, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see, won't we?
We'll be looking for it. Yeah, I know. I've recently gotten through the most recent stuff, and looking forward to the next part. And we'll see how that goes, and excited to see how the story wraps up, and if there's going to be any kind of ties into the new movie that's coming out. So still have kind of mixed feelings about this new movie, but we'll see how that goes. But sure. Yeah, I've been enjoying the show, even though it's cheesy and you know. Not so much, you know, real martial arts or good martial arts or however you want to describe it, but it's a fun show, and it's pretty surreal to see, you know, kind of this continuation of, you know, you watch the original movies back in the day, and it's like, okay, well the story's done, and it's like, oh no, there's so much more to tell, and I like the writing, especially for Mr. Lawrence's character, Johnny's character. I feel he's kind of my spirit animal. He's just the way that they've had him on the show. I feel like I can relate to him so much. Whether or not that's a good thing, I'm not sure. But I just crack up every time he's on screen, and just the things that he says, and kind of his kind of trapped in the 80s kind of outlook. It just really kind of speaks to me. So I have fun with that. So, so now we're going to move into kind of what I call our lightning round here. Just some kind of questions as we kind of head towards a close on our time today. Since you're not a Kenpo stylist yet, we'll have to kind of modify these a little bit, but you know, we'll just kind of throw it out there. So I'm going to change this first question up a little bit and kind of steal from another podcast that I listen to, the Everyday Martial Artist with Brian Doucette. So if folks are not listening to that podcast, you should definitely check it out. But I'll go ahead and ask, and I think I have an idea of where you're going to go with this one, but we'll see. But do you have a favorite martial arts movie?
I had a handful of them. Of course, I mentioned the Ip Man series. Karate Kid, obviously. Anything Bruce Lee. Oh, let me see. A favorite, if I were to say a favorite, Karate Kid.
Very nice. Very nice. I like it. I like it. I was thinking you were gonna say a Chuck Norris movie, but no, Karate Kid is a great answer and a very inspiring movie. You know, got a lot of us into the arts. So, and just a really good message, especially with kind of today's times and how young people are kind of on a different path these days. Having something like the original Karate Kid, like to see kind of some of those lessons, life lessons, get instilled a little bit more. So, I'd like that to get out there more, but, great choice there.
You know, I liken it unto, Danny LaRusso is the underdog. You know, they bicker about it all the time in the fandom about how Johnny Lawrence is really the Karate Kid. Anyway, you know, I like the storyline. LaRusso was put into a tough spot. I can relate to it. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, I can relate. And Mr. Miyagi, I think everybody has somebody that comes along in their lives. And you're right. It is it's a wonderful story. It's inspirational. And you know, I just took a lot from that when I was a kid.
Gotcha. And then the next question, if there is anyone that you could train with, living or dead, fictional or non-fictional, who would that be?
Mr. Miyagi.
Very, very good one. Yeah, that is also a great answer that I like. If there's anyone to learn from, that's definitely the person to learn from. So I like it. All right. So we're going to move to our shameless self-promotion. So now is your time. If there's anything that you want to plug or anything that you want to say that maybe we didn't cover or anything that you want to get out there, you have the floor. You can say whatever you like, and then we'll close out our time.
Thank you, Reggie. I just want to thank everybody that tunes in. Feel free to follow me on my social medias. I'm Chris D. Roberts on Instagram as well as Facebook. I haven't gotten into the whole X or much outside of the Instagram and Facebook realm. You can find me on IMDb also as Chris D. Roberts. Feel free to visit that link, and you can keep up with where my career is headed. That's about it, Reggie, as far as self-promotion. Just come on, check out the social medias and the IMDb link, and it would be greatly appreciated.
Right on. We'll do, and we'll put those on the show notes and make sure that we all keep an eye on what you're up to and what you're doing next. And when you get when you're getting that Oscar, we'll be like, oh well, yeah, we met him when he was starting out. So yeah, looking forward to seeing what comes next for you. And yeah, I thank you so much for taking the time to chit chat with me. And we'll definitely have to do this again and keep an eye on what you're doing. So thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for your time, Reggie, and thank you to the audience again.
Thank you for listening to My Empty Hands. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend. If you didn't enjoy it, please share it with an enemy. If you'd like to be a guest, or if you would like to recommend a guest for the show, please email me at podcast@talkingkenpo.com. Thank you.